Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
I wanted to talk about a passage of Scripture. If you would turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I'm going to read this very familiar passage of Scripture to set the tone for what I'm going to talk about today. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Verse 17. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 17. As y'all look at that verse, is it a familiar passage of Scripture? Because we hear this one all the time. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. We've seen that. But then when we go up to verse 15, that last portion says, for the battle is not yours, but God. We say that all the time, don't we? We say it all the time. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord. It sounds good. And it is true. But did you ever wonder how they got into that situation? Did you ever look above that passage of Scripture and wonder what happened for them to get into this battle? And then what happened for the Lord to say, don't worry about it, it's not yours to fight, it's mine? Because we get to that passage, but what I want to talk to you about today is just this: how to turn the table in your favor. How to turn the table in your favor. And what we're going to do is look at Jehoshaphat and see how they got to this point in time. Because we tend to focus on verse 15, verse 17, and even verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambush. The Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which will come out against Judah, and they were smitten. Oh, we like that part right there. God took care of it. God took care of the battle. And then verse 25, we like to say, well, and the people came and they took away the spoil. But God did. So we get to that part and we say, yes, thank the Lord, we didn't have to fight in this battle. It was the Lord's. But what got them to that place? And how did they get the Lord to move on their behalf? Well, first we're going to have to look at Jehoshaphat, who is here, and he represents the leadership at that time. You see, he was leading the children, and he was the fourth king of Judah. And we find that out in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 24, when he comes on the scene. He is the fourth king of Judah. And then we also find out that at that point in time, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 3. Looking at leadership here, the head. And so it was set up, and then all kingdoms feared Judah. We find that in 2 Chronicles 17 and 10. So here we have a man called to be a good king who came on the scene and the Lord was with him. And so much so that all the kingdoms and the nations around Judah feared him. Have we ever gotten to a place where everything is good? And God is with us, and we think everything is just all right. We're doing everything we know to do, and God is blessing. Isn't it easy to praise the Lord when things are going right? Isn't it very easy to praise the Lord when blessings are just coming down? So many blessings, you don't know what to do with. You start giving them away. Here we have this going on with Judah and Jehoshaphat. Godly men doing that with the Lord. But lo and behold, I need to get a little time on your hand. Start to do some things. And got a little money. You can hang out with folks you don't normally hang out with. You can hang out in that circle. You know, got a little money. You can hang out and make some new friends. Why would he happen to go and make a new friend with a king called Ahab? You know, y'all know Ahab wasn't a godly man. He wasn't a righteous man. And so here you have a man of God. Got a little time, got a little blessing. He goes on and he wants to hang out. And not only just hang out, but establish an alliance with King Ahab. What's wrong with that picture? Now, we called to go out and be witnesses to people and to bring them into the kingdom. And we can have friends and talk with them, but you can't go aligning yourself up with them. You know, an alliance. I mean, you know. Just joining yourself because whatever things they want to do because you are now their allies, they want you to participate. I mean, look at the United States and our allies. When they go to war, they expect us to go to war with them. They expect us to send troops with them because we are now allies. And you have one good man. And now, he wanted to go to war. And so now you look at Jehoshaphat. Hey, you my partner. You made this alliance. Now, let's go to war. So what y'all think Jehoshaphat thinking right about now? Well, I done hooked up with him. You can always back out. But he went ahead and stayed on in there with him. And they went to war and Ahab ended up not coming back, and Jehoshaphat barely got out of there alive. And you can read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. But turn with me now to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Here we have Jehoshaphat going back home after the battle. Chapter 19, verse 1, it says, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. So he's like, well, I got out of that thing alive. Let me get on back to the house. Let me get back to the house. But lo and behold, verse 2 says, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that what? Hate the Lord. He tried to run back to the house in peace and get there, but God sent the prophet. God sent the prophet to him to meet him, just to give him, you know how we always searching for a word? We want to get a word from the Lord. Well, I don't think he was looking for a word from the Lord. He was just trying to get to the house. But this day, the Lord sent an unexpected word to the king. And he said, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Come on, man. You're supposed to be a righteous man. God done sent you up. The Lord was with you. Now you have got the big head. He said, and you don't look up. They don't even like your God. Hate your God, and you're going to hang out with them. What's wrong with that? Therefore, is wrath upon thee from before the Lord.
He done got in trouble with God.
Now y'all see the stage to where now he's like, the Lord was with me, now the Lord mad at me. Oh, have we ever been in that position where we done messed up and got in trouble with the Lord? Oh my God. And so now we have a problem. He's in trouble with God. And so verse 4. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again to the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their father. What happened? Let's go back to God. Let's go back to the Lord. We need to get ourselves back to God. I see we have leadership here now, setting the stage, setting the tone, so others can follow. Leadership is saying, I messed up. We got to get this thing right. God was with me, now he's upset with me. We got to turn to the Lord. So now in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 4 through 11, he began to act like he should. He put God's kingdom in spiritual order. He went back and he set up judges. And he gave them things to do and how to rule. He taught them things. And all of this is in verses 4 through 11. He taught them the whole concept of being accountable to God. I think he knew a little bit about that. He taught them about integrity and loyalty. He found out a little something about that with the prophet came. And he taught them about a concern for righteousness. How many of us are concerned about righteousness? And not only that, he taught them about courage. So here he got his house in order. But lo and behold, after he got things in order, brought the house and all the people back to God. You know, young people, God forgives, but your actions have reactions, and your choices have consequences. And now we're beginning to see that the table now has turned. He messed up. He went back to God, but in chapter 20, verse 1, it says, it came to pass after this also. After what? After he got set everything back up and in order, and got the people's hearts and their minds turned back to God. It came to pass that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to do that. You remember there was a time when they feared them. But God told them, why you do this thing? Why you turn away? He said the prophet, and now they turn back. But, you know, your parents may not break out the strap on you all the time. They may just put you in front of you. So there are some consequences to your actions. And so, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar-Tamar, which is in Anger. Now, the next verse is powerful. And Jehoshaphat what? He done got scared right about now. How many of us have gotten into a place and we know we're doing right now, we're doing the right thing, and something happens and we get scared? Yeah, We get scared. I've been there, done that. We get scared, and then fear takes control and hold of us so that we can't even do anything. We can't even move. And here's what happened to Jehoshaphat. And he feared. But I like part two. And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. You want to know how to turn the table in your favor? There's nothing like a little prayer and fasting. Nothing like a little prayer and fasting to turn the table in your favor. We always go to that passage that says the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. How did they get there to where it was the Lord's battle? They got the tables turned because now leadership recognizes that there's power in prayer and power in fasting. He had already turned the heart of the nation back to God, but now he is scared, and his fear locked him up. But then when he realized and took his fear off of those things and put his focus and faith to seek the Lord, that's when he began to do it. How many of us let fear paralyze? And we take our mind off God. We are afraid of so many things but God. We do things like we don't even care about God, but we'd be afraid. We get afraid of man. We're afraid of the boss man at work. We're afraid of our colleagues. They say something to us, but we don't let you go. We fear because we're hanging on to that thing. We're hanging on to the creation more than we're hanging on to the Creator and the one who provides the blessing. So therefore, when they say, if you don't do this, we're going to let you go, we get scared. And so now that all of these nations are coming to him to do battle, immediately he trembles and he gets scared and he when you get scared, it's all right. As we say on the streets, if you're scared, say you're scared. If you're scared, just tell God, God, I'm scared, but help me out. Be honest, because God already knows. And so he feared, but waited to return to seek the Lord. And he sought the Lord, and then he said, not only are we going to seek him, we're going to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And verse 4, and all Judah gathered themselves together to what? Ask help of the Lord. How are you going to turn the table in your favor? We have not because we ask not. They went to God and they asked him for help. Some of us get so stubborn and we want to do it on our own. We want to try to figure it out all ourselves. But God will let you do it. But he says, if you want me to help you, I just ask. Now. And so they asked help even out of all the cities of Judah. And they all came to seek the Lord. You know how I said earlier, it's easy to praise the Lord when you got blessings. But oh, it's showed up a lot easier to come to church and to seek him when you're in trouble. Oh, we can come together and have prayer meeting because we need help from the Lord. And that look, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, help me. I need that prayer won't work. And you want to come and you want to do something strong and you want to get down and even start to sweat when you're in trouble. But that's what they did. They came together. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat, the leader. Verse 5 of chapter 20, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. He came to church now. And Jehoshaphat in church, and he's standing up, and he says, oh, now he's beginning to pray. Now we're going to see this prayer that he prayed. They already been fasting. And y'all know when you fast, you can't do nothing but get close to the Lord. Because hunger makes you do some things. Hunger makes you, I got to take my mind off my situation. See, when you fast, you don't become fearful as much because your mind is on. Verse 6, he came and watched the leader pray. Now, it's not one of those temporary,
oh, God, on high, the creator of all the earth. Thou who hast been from everlasting to everlasting.
No, he can't pray like that. Verse 6, he said, and he said, oh, Lord, God of our fathers, art thou God in heaven? And I'm going to get it. And rulest not over all the kingdom of the heathen, and in thine hand is not their power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Look at here. He gets through it now. He said, basically, God, you're sovereign God. You made all the nations. All the power is in you. See how that prayer working right now? Now y'all see how he got to the battle is not yours. he prayed that prayer there in verse 60 to demonstrate God's sovereignty. He's going back, you are God, and you can do whatever you want to, whenever you want to. You got all power in your hand. He's praying now because he needs some help. Verse 7, he continues his prayer, art not thou our God? Oh, he's making it personal now. Yeah, he made that alliance before, but now he's thinking, art thou our God? Who did it drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it into the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Didn't you draw these people out? Didn't you give us this land? He said, my God, how you going to let them come over here now and take it? This was your covenant. Starting to pray like he means, he's bringing things back to God. Remember it. And oh, how trouble makes you think about times gone by. He's praying up a storm now. He's reminding God of his covenant. You brought us out. You drove out the inhabitants. And not only that, you gave this thing to Abraham. So you can't go back on your word. You can't take it from us, Lord. That's a strong prayer now. And then in verse 8 and verse 9, he says, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. If when evil come upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before thee, we stand before this house and in thy presence. For thy name is in this house, and cry out to thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help.
Oh, that's a deep prayer right there. Call what you talking about now?
He said, God, I'm talking about your prayers. We built this house right here. See, they standing in the house of God. They're in the church now. They're in the church, and he's saying, you know, your spirit dwells here. We built this sanctuary. You know, can you let him get it now? They let them take it, Lord. And you dwell here. If evil come upon us, you said it. If evil come upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, we stand before in this house and in our presence. When things come hot, get hot, Lord, we stand here. You're supposed to be with us. Your presence is supposed to be yeah, isn't it? How we can remember to remind God of things, but when he wants to remind other things, we quit it for good. And we go line ourselves up with other people and other things. But oh, when we get in trouble. But thank God he is a merciful God. Thank God he is a good God. And we always say, God is a good God. Yes, he is. Yeah. And we want that goodness thing. Verse 10. You see how long this prayer was? One of those simple prayers. And now, verse 10. Behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. Here's the thing. God wouldn't even let them kill them when they came out of Egypt. God would believe, now I'm bringing y'all out. Y'all ain't got the thing of our going. They were doing all the stuff. God didn't let them kill. So now, he's throwing it back up in God's face. Now, God, the people that he didn't let us kill, now he's coming to kill us. When they came out of the land, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. So he said, hold up, Lord. You're a good God. You're a good God. Now, explain, let us kill him. You were good and merciful to the heathen. Now you're going to let the heathen come and destroy your children. God, you were good to God. Yes, you were. Good. I love this word. I love it. And so, verse 10, he prayed and he illustrated to God his goodness. And then, verse 11, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Check it out. And he said, now stop. It's yours. Yeah. Now you don't want to take it. Okay, God, you know, it's my stuff. But now they realize that they're just stewards for what God has given them. He said, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast them out of thy possession. He's going on that picture. Which thou hast given to us to inherit. Throwing it up in God's face, ain't you? Uh-huh. And now you get in trouble. It's kind of like, you know, how all of a sudden in times it's just like, that's mine. But then when we get something and we say, that's mine, ain't no mine, that's ours. Hey, that's ours. That's what they said to God before. They were mine. And God, this is yours. But you gave it to us to eat. I y'all see how they get there so that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. So, verse 12. This is where they come really to themselves. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon us. Here they're going back now. God, if you don't do it, it can't be done. God, if you don't move it, it can't be moved.
Y'all know that's what they're saying, because now they are getting to a point to where they utterly realize that they are totally dependent on God. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them, O God? You can't even, aren't you going to judge them? Because God, we have no might against this great company. Oh, Lord Jesus, aren't you going to help them? Because they ain't got no strength, Lord.
Yeah, y'all know that prayer.
Hallelujah. And we have no might against this great company that come against us. Neither know we don't even know what to do, Lord. But you, oh Lord, you know the beginning from the end. Lord, we need your help right now. We need your strength right now, Lord. We can't do it without it. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's what's going on right here. Now we realize why they say the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. Because they realize that they have messed up. And then they said, in order for the table to turn in our favor, we must go back to God. And we must get into a place to where we can pray and where we can hear from God. And the only way we can hear from Him is if we push away from the table. If we turn down all the food and we begin to say, Lord, I'm going to give all this stuff up because I need a word from you. Not only do I need a word, but I need your intervention. I need your divine hand. We need your presence because they're about to take us over. And then he realized that after I fasted and I cleared myself of all these things, and now I'm in a position to hear from God. Now I'm going to really get down on my knees, and I'm going to talk to God like I really love Him. I'm going to talk to God like I really need Him. I'm going to pray to Him to where He understands that I'm your child and remind Him of the things that He promised. And so now, He did that. They did that, and they prayed, that prayer, and they fasted. Oh, my Lord, and remember how when He came back from the battle with Ahab, God sent a prophet. Well, they just finished fasting and they just finished praying in verse 14. Then upon Jehazi, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehuel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody. Yeah, you know how we had a real good fast and prayer. How the Spirit is just prevalent in the air. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And now the Spirit of the Lord came upon them in the midst of the congregation. They done came back into the house of God. They done prayed it up, huh? They got the kind of glory there. And now the presence of the Lord just comes down and the Spirit of the Lord takes upon somebody in the congregation. Oh, don't you like to see the power of God in the house of God? Woo! I love this. I love it. I love it. The Spirit of the Lord came upon it in the midst of the congregation. You see, God didn't hide it. He did that thing right in front of everybody. He said, okay, now you came together in corporate prayer. I'm going to show out in corporate. And he came upon him. And then he said, the Spirit of the Lord said, hearken ye all to, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord unto you. You want to get God to come back in the table to turn. He said, be not afraid. See, he was fearful. God understood where he was. God heard his cry. He said, now, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And God has said, okay, you prayed to see my sovereignty. Don't worry about all the people that's coming against you. I'm bigger than all of that. You wanted me to remember my covenant? Here I come right now. You wanted to see my presence? I'm right here in the midst of the congregation. You want to see my goodness? I'm sending you a word right now. And he said, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. And this is the verse we like. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. We love that verse right there. But now we see how we got there. Now you see how to get the tables to turn in your face. Sometimes God has us up and we get beside ourselves and we make unhealthy relationships and unholy alliances. But God is a God who forgives. All he's saying today is if you're in a place where you shouldn't be, if you got things coming against you that you don't want and you want the tide to turn and the table to turn, he said, come on, seek my face, pray and fast. If you pray and fast, watch me move on your behalf. But when you pray, I don't want one of them little inky-dinky prayers. I want you to go down on your knees and as the old saint say, call him like you want him. Call him like you need. That's what God is saying today. How to turn the table in your favor. And he just saying, pray and fast. And watch me move. I'm going to show you my sovereignty. I'm going to remember my covenant. I'm going to remember these things I promised you. Ain't forgotten. I'm going to show you my presence. I'm always with you. I never leave you nor forsake you. You might not feel me because you're out of fellowship. But when you get in the fellowship, you'll feel me. And he says, you're going to see my goodness. Because no good thing will he withhold from them that walk together. He said, I'm going to give you the possession. Because blessed are you going out and blessed. Because my Bible tells me that God will give you the power to do the work. And then he says, in the midst of all of that, when you come into houses and in, don't forget who gave you. And then he said, other than depended upon you, and I will take care of you.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.